Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. First of all, I have to say, I have a feeling that after chapel today, everybody's going to go try to be a friend of Brother Dave Whitmore. You're going to have more friends than you ever knew what to do with after today, Brother Dave. I don't know why, but you're going to have all kinds of friends after that. For some of you, it's too late to become a friend of Brother Whitmore, as you've already received all of your tickets. No, it does not work with Hiles Anderson College tickets. For that, you have to be a friend of a security guard. And so, Kevin Bales, there you go. You just made a bunch of friends. All right, let me just make one quick correction to an announcement. The announcement said that transportation for the airport will leave 30 minutes after from the college. It will leave 30 minutes after graduation from the church, okay? So it's not coming back here after graduation and then going to the airport. You need to be packed and ready for the airport when you leave for graduation, and then the bus will leave from the church to go to the airport. All right, so make sure that you have that clear. Communicate with Brother Club if you have questions about that. I really enjoyed Brother Bachman's message yesterday. I've known the Bachman family for a long time, since I was a little kid, and they've been a huge blessing to me. I appreciate it. I walked down the hall early. I was here early this morning, walked down the hall and saw a couple of students that said to me, "We're gonna live, and then we're gonna die." So I was thinking about it, and I had to have my own Ice Age reference for you today. And then I was thinking about something else, because yesterday it kind of hurt my feelings, but this happens to me a lot. I really don't have feelings. I'm just kidding. But I told somebody yesterday, I said, "Hey, tomorrow or Friday, stop by my office." Right, I know. Right? So this person, when I said that, the first thing that they said is the first thing everybody says when I say stop by my office. Am I in trouble? Nobody like thinks they're going to get candy. Nobody thinks it's going to be a good thing. Nobody thinks Brother King just wants to fellowship with me. It's always, am I in trouble? And sometimes I say, should you be in trouble? Are you? I don't know. Are you in trouble? So I was reminded of Ice Age 2, and my kids have reminded me of this from time to time, where Sid, everybody loves Sid, is trying to set up, I forget what the guy, Woolly Mammoth, is. He's trying to set him up with Ellie, the girl, right? And she goes, they're walking, and they see Ellie rolling by on this log. And he says, "See, she's tons of fun, and you're no fun at all. She completes you." And that's Brother and Mrs. King. She's tons of fun. I'm no fun at all. She completes me. So that's my Ice Age reference. So she's not here, so you have to tell her I said something good about her while I was in chapel today. But that is my daughter Chloe. Many of you know Chloe. Chloe thinks she's everybody's favorite. She is at home, probably not here. But I love Chloe, but Chloe, we saw that, and Chloe said, "Dad, that's you and Mom. She's tons of fun, and you're no fun at all." And so that's the way it is. I've made peace with that. Turning your Bibles to Philippians chapter number 1 this morning. Philippians chapter 1 will be there pretty much the whole message this morning. I'm going to ask you a question, and we're going to go through most of the chapter, just kind of jumping around to different verses this morning. But just think for a minute of the people that you're sitting with this morning, okay? The people that you're sitting with this morning, you're probably sitting by that person because you have something in common with them. Okay? For some of you, it's because everybody on your row is ugly, and that's why you're sitting on that row, because you have something in common. For some of you, it's because everybody on your row likes to talk through the song service and sleep through the preaching. For some of you, you're sitting by that person because you share a relationship. You have a relationship in common. For some of you, you're hoping for a relationship. She doesn't know it yet, and you just happen to sit there, but you're hoping for a relationship. But no, you're sitting. Listen. You're sitting by that person. It's not in this auditorium. It's not because that was the only seat that was available, because there's lots of empty seats. But you chose that. When you go over to the dining hall, you'll sit at a table with some people because you have something in common with them, or you'd like to have something in common with them. Oftentimes, I'll have a young man say, "Brother King, what about this person?" Or, "I want to be more like this young man or that young man." And we'll say, "Hey, spend time with them. Learn what it is that makes them tick. Learn why they are that way." And sometimes, "Hey, I want to be popular like this guy." Well, you're ugly and he's good looking, so there's really nothing you can do. But the fact is, no, there's some things. You're sitting by those people, or you spend time with those people on the weekends. You're probably on the bus route that you're on because you have something in common with the other people on that route. Maybe you all need help. I don't know what it is. Maybe you like to sit at McDonald's for 4 hours on Saturdays, and so do they. Maybe you all like Dunkin' Donuts. Maybe it was your route that had 270 visitors this weekend. If it was, praise God. But listen, we're going to talk. I'm going to give you several things that you might have in common from Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians 1, look at verse number 18 with me quickly. "What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth," and pay attention to this right here, "Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for this college, Lord. I thank you for what it has meant and continues to mean to me in my life and my family. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of serving you. God, I thank you for these young people. Lord, you know my heart. You know that I love them with all of my heart. Lord, I want to help them in any way that I can. God, this passage of Scripture is a blessing to me. It's a help to me. I thank you for people in my life that I have things in common with. God, I pray that you bless the message. I pray that you'd use it. I pray that you would speak through me and to me this morning and help our young people, help our staff, help us to be better servants for you. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Several things that I want to give you this morning from Philippians chapter 1. And they're all going to start, I'm going to give you five things. They're all going to start with the letter F. I don't usually do that, but I did for today just because I know it's finals and it's hard for you to remember anything, much less chapel messages. So, first of all, we're going to see in verse number 5 the fellowship of the gospel. The fellowship of the gospel. Verse number 5 says this, "For your fellowship in the gospel..." From the first day till now, he's talking about that. Verse 4, "Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." Your fellowship in the gospel is common interest, okay? Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and he is thankful that they have common interest. The people that you fellowship with, the people that you spend time with those people because you have common interests. It might be, it might be video games that you have in common, and this person, you and this person like the same video games, and so you talk about those things, you fellowship over those things, you'll play video games together till 2 o'clock in the morning after the dorm soups all go to sleep. You'll do whatever it is, but you'll fellowship over that. Now, some of you really loves sports, and you'll talk about sports. Maybe it's basketball, and you and some other guy or girl can stay up till you know, whenever, just talking about sports, talking about basketball or baseball or football, whatever it is, the NFL draft is coming up, and people talking about that, and who's your team going to get, and what do they need, and if you were in charge of the team, what you would do differently, and those guys are a bunch of idiots and don't have any clue what they're doing, all of those things. But we fellowship over those things because we have common interests. We like to spend time with people that we have things in common with. There's things that I enjoy doing. I enjoy sports. I used to enjoy golfing, and I can't do that anymore. I blew out my back, had to have back surgery, so now I disc golf. And I enjoy disc golfing. I like going with other people. I enjoy doing those sort of things. And there's something about that. I like to fellowship with people that enjoy that. I like to discuss a little bit politics, and I like people to, I like to talk about politics with people. But really, one of my favorite things to do in the whole world is to talk about the things of God and the Word of God and what God has helped me with in those areas. And Paul is rejoicing with this church at Philippi because of their fellowship. And he says, your fellowship in the gospel. Let me ask you a question. Of the people that you have common interests with, the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. What Jesus has done for you and what he has done for everybody else. Let me ask you a question this morning. Who do you have that in common with? Who do you enjoy fellowshipping with about the things of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? When's the last time that you had a conversation with somebody in your dorm room or on the row that you're sitting with in chapel or with that person that you're dating about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul says, I rejoice in your fellowship in the gospel. I love spending time with you. We have something in common, and it is the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. The second thing that I see here is in verse 15, 16, 18. Verse 12. Let's look at verse 12. But I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. The furtherance of the gospel. He says we have something else in common, and that is this: we have a common goal. We have a common goal, and that is the furtherance of the gospel. Paul says to the church at Philippi, he knows that they love him. The kind of the theme of the book of Philippi, or the book of Philippians, is rejoicing and joy. And it really is not a book that he does a lot of writing and correcting things. It's kind of of all the epistles of Paul, this is probably the one that's the most just like a letter to a friend, where he's not dealing with a whole bunch of real deep doctrinal issues or anything like that. He's joying, rejoicing in them, thanking God for them, challenging them in some areas, but not really complaining or correcting much of anything. But he says he knows that they love him, they've ministered to him, they've met his need. You see that later on in the book. He's writing this book from prison about 10 years after he was at this church. He was at this church about 52 A.D. He writes it at about 62 A.D. from the Mamertine prison. And he says, look, everything that's fallen, the things that have happened unto me, everything. Look at that verse again. But I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. He says the end result has resulted in the furtherance of the gospel. And he rejoices in that with the church at Philippi because he said, I know your heart is the same as my heart because we have the same goal in mind, and that is the furtherance of the gospel. When you go on your bus routes, we have spring program. You went out on your bus routes, Carnival Sunday, all these things. Everybody on your route had the same goal in mind. The goal was to find people and bring them to church. And what if you had, if your mind was right, if your heart was right, what's the purpose for that? It's the gospel. It's to get them the gospel. Not to let them ride rides and give them a bunch of candy out of a helicopter or to give all those things. Those are all wonderful things. They're all tools. I remember years ago, I think it might have been Brother Hiles that said this, but you know, people talking about, hey, giving away a bike on a spring program. Now you have to give away like $1,000 because everybody's got so much, they don't need anything anymore. But back when I was in college, it was, you know, you gave away a bike, people would bring 100 visitors for a bicycle. Now they, oh, if I need a bike, I'll just go buy one, right? But the fact is, people say, well, how you give away a bike? You're enticing people to come to church. And I think it was Brother Hiles said, hey, if giving somebody a bike will get them into heaven, will be the thing that will bring them under the sound of the gospel so that they can go to heaven when they die. Yeah, absolutely. I'd give everybody a bike if I could. I'd have a carnival every Sunday if it meant bringing 270 people under the sound of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They had a common interest, and that was the fellowship of the gospel. They had a common goal, and that is the furtherance of the gospel. Let me ask you a question. You dating couples that are in here this morning, how much is that a common goal for the two of you? The furtherance of the gospel. How much does that permeate your conversation? How much do you pray about those things together? How much do you talk about those things together? And how can we reach more souls for Christ? Let me tell you something. You get out of this place and you go out into the ministry, man, you're going to want a wife that you can pray with. Ladies, you're going to want a husband that will lead you in your walk with God and in prayer and in reaching souls for the cause of Christ. And that's not just going to magically happen when you get out of this place. They had common interests. They had a common goal. Then thirdly, verses 15, 16, 18, I'd love to read this whole passage for you. I'm going to read 13 through 18. It says this, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. The third thing I see here is forthtelling. Forthtelling. Forthtelling is just simply speaking forth. Foretelling is telling the future, is prophecy. Forthtelling is speaking forth the truth of the gospel of Christ. Paul says this, he says they have the forthtelling of the gospel. He says Christ is preached. What is that? That is the gospel. And he says we have this in common, the forthtelling of the gospel. They have a common method. They have common interests, they have common goals, and they have a common method. And that is telling people what Jesus has done for them. You know who likes to hang out with somebody that is a vibrant soul winner? Other people that are soul winners. You know who doesn't want to hang out with somebody that actually spends all day Saturday soul winning? People that don't want to go soul winning. One of the things Brother Whitmore's here, one of the things that I don't know Brother Whitmore real well, but one of the things that I've heard consistently about Brother Whitmore is that man is a soul winner. He's a soul winner. When he's here, he's a soul winner. When he's back in Brazil, he's a soul winner. He's a soul winner. In every place, every ministry that he's a part of, when I talk to people that he ministers with, they say, I love Brother Whitmore because he's a soul winner. Let me ask you a question. Do you love soul winners? Or do you say, oh, they take their bus, they take Saturdays too seriously? They had something in common, and that was their method. Their method. It's good to have, you know, people bringing people to church and seeing people get saved in church and baptized and all those things, but all of us are commanded to forthtell. You and I are all commanded to be preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, no matter what happened, he said, some people are preaching just for the purpose of increasing my suffering. But he said, all that I care is that they're preaching. Why? That's why you ought to rejoice when other people bring more visitors than you on a bus route. If you're doing your job and you're doing everything you can and God brings you one visitor and he brings somebody else 15 visitors, praise God, you have something in common. You're doing the same thing. You have the same method, and that is the forthtelling of the gospel. You're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Girls, I wouldn't date a man that's not a soul winner. Fellas, I wouldn't date a young lady that's not a soul winner. It matters. It matters. Some of you, I'm thankful. Next week we're having senior awards, and praise God. It's a blessing to me to look down through the list and see hundreds of souls that have been won to Christ. It's sad to me to see sometimes you'll see somebody that's been here for 4 years and maybe one person won to Christ. I understand some plants, some waters, God gives the increase. But 4 years at this place, my guess is that God probably desires to give you more increase than one person in 4 years. You can only be faithful to tell. God does the work, but be faithful to tell. Share with your friends in your dorm room. Instead of, maybe you take a little less time talking about sports or politics or who's going to riot where or what's going to happen in this, that, the other thing, or the latest video game. Take a little less time talking about that and a little bit more time talking about what did God do. I love that Pastor comes in on Tuesdays and says, somebody share a blessing from your realm. But I have to say this, usually, and I understand there's bus captains and things like that usually it's the same people. And some of you have been here for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and have not had one blessing from your route of what God did in your life on the weekend. That ought to bother you. You say, Brother King, I don't like this very much. Move on to the next one. I don't like it very much either. I need this as much as anybody else. We all need it. But Paul says, no matter what happens to me, the most important thing of all is that Christ is preached. Brother King, people in my dorm, I'm at a Bible college, but there's people that I know that are here that will make fun of me if I talk about soul winning. You answer to God for you. That's up to you. The next thing that I see is in verse 7 and verse 17. He says this, even in verse 7, it says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. And then verse 17, he says again, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. He says twice here, the defense of the gospel, and for the sake of keeping everything starting with the letter F, I put the fortress of the gospel. Really the defense here, the gospel doesn't need you to defend it, okay? As far as God can defend himself, he doesn't need you, but really it's clearing away. That word there, defense, is kind of the clearing away of objections. It's kind of, if I grew up on a dairy farm, and so when we would get a field ready for planting, okay, we would clear all the debris, we would get all the rocks out. If there had been other crops and things planted there, we'd cut all that down, we'd dig it up. It's preparing the soil. It's taking down all the defenses, the things that would, the hindrances to the gospel. And in verse 7, he says the defense and confirmation of the gospel. That confirmation is then that seed being planted once you've cleared out all the objections. Paul says, I'm set for that. In other words, that is my plan. Nothing will deter me from that. We have this, we talk about defense, talking about a fortress, we have a common enemy. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. The devil, I don't know about you, I hope that the devil is your enemy. The devil is my enemy. And you ought to surround yourself with other people that the devil is their enemy. The Bible says you cannot be the friend of the world and the friend of God. If you're the friend of the world, you're the enemy of God. Let me ask you a question. Would your friends, the people that know you best at this place, you say, well, they're not my friends, okay? The people that just watch you at this place, okay? The people that see you on a day-to-day basis at this place, would they say that young man is a friend of God? You see, God doesn't leave a whole lot of room for middle ground there. He says, if you're a friend of me, you're going to be an enemy of the world. Unfortunately, too many Christians today, adults and young people alike, kind of want to be a friend of the world. I don't want to be in the world. I'm not over the top, Brother King. I'm not way over there. I just don't want to be way over there. Let me explain something to you. God is way over there. When it comes to the world, God is way over there. He's not over here. He's not the world's here. God's here. God says he'll be wherever I am. He says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. He says, I am set for the defense of the gospel. In the middle of that 13 through 18, where he's talking about everything that's happening to him, and people are doing it just to be mean to him, just to cause more hurt to him, whatever. He said, some people are doing it because they love me, and they're excited, and they're trying to do the same things that I'm trying to do. Other people are doing it because they hate me. But either way, my goal is that Christ is preached. And he says, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. I'm ready for whatever the Lord allows to come my way. Let me ask you a question. And to be honest, even as far as people in the dorms, doesn't matter, guys' dorms, girls' dorms, some of you are united. You might even be sitting with somebody in chapel today because you both don't like the same person. I'm not lying. Or the same group of people. I don't like so-and-so. Oh, I don't like them either. We should hang out. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's on social media. It's on all these other things, messaging back and forth. It goes on in the dorms. Hey, what's the latest tea? Let me tell you about what I know about this person. Let me tell you what I know about that person. Let me tell you, what is that? We have a common enemy. Why don't you find other people that have the common enemy of being the devil and be set for the defense of the gospel? To clear out all the obstructions. You know, oftentimes the obstructions to the gospel are in the heart of the person that's supposed to be sharing the gospel. You have another field that you're supposed to be spreading the gospel, and that field's ready, and the problem's not there. The problem's in you. The problem's in me sometimes. Having a common enemy, the fortress of the gospel. He says, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Number 5, verse number 27. Verse number 27, he says two things here about the gospel. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. First of all, let your conversation, the way that you live, be something that is becoming. It's not a word we use often anymore. It used to be, you used to say often, well, that's very becoming of her. The Bible talks about something that is unbecoming. He says, let your conversation, let your way of life be something that is becoming of or appropriate with the gospel. It makes the gospel look good. Let me ask you a question. Does your life in the dorms, on your cell phone, in your car, the things you watch, the things you listen to, the things you say, the things you see, the things you think about, is it becoming of the gospel? Does it make the gospel look good? When people at work find out, which shouldn't take very long, when they find out that you're a Christian, do they say, that makes sense? Or do they say, are you serious? Some of you are so determined. You might have somebody at your work that loves the Lord and is trying to be a bold witness, and they might not do everything exactly the way that you would do it, but you're so determined to not be associated with them that the other people at your work don't even know that you go to a Bible college. He says, understand, it's probably for me, tell them I want a pepperoni, Phil. He says, understand your life. Read it again, the first part of verse 27 with me. Only let your conversation, your manner of living, the way that you live, let it be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. He says, whether I'm there or not. Let me just, as an example, okay? On the weekend, this weekend, if Brother John came up on your bus route, you would be all about business. All about business. Hey, all we only got, 30 minutes to eat lunch. We got to get back out there. We got to follow up on these people. We got to go find people. He says, whether I come or whether I be absent, shouldn't make any difference in what you do. Whether the dorm suit checks that lights out or not shouldn't make any difference. Whether anybody knows that you lied on your activity report or not shouldn't make any difference. You should do what's right because that's what's right and that's your heart. He says this about that. The faith of the gospel is number 5. They have a common testimony. They have a common testimony. You know who you will find at Hiles Anderson College that has a heart for the gospel and a mind for the gospel, and their testimony is becoming of the gospel. You know who you'll find them with? Other people that have that same heart and mind. Because people that have that same heart and mind, that's who they want to be with. They look for other people. It's amazing to me, kind of, it's become almost you expect it and you watch. On opening day, by the end of opening day, it's amazing how quickly you can find other people that are like you. People you never met, people that came from other countries, people that came from across the country, people that you've never seen before in your life. And for sure by the end of opening week, you will find other people that are like you. You will find other people that you have things in common with. What do you have in common? Let me ask you a question. How many people do you have the gospel in common with? How many people would come down here at an altar? I love to see our altars full. God works in hearts on a regular basis in our chapel. I love to see the prayer meetings for bus routes after chapel. That's always a blessing to me. But one of the things that moves my heart the most is when I see young people at this altar together praying with each other and begging God to do something. I've watched some of the biggest movements of God that I've seen in my life have come as a result of groups of young people at an altar together begging God to move. Begging God to work. You could look all throughout history and looking at, if you study the history of revivals, many times young people, groups of young people praying together, asking God to move. Asking God to do something. He wants to move. God wants to work. Let me take you to one other passage quickly. Turn to Acts chapter 2. I want to show you what can happen when you find other people that you have this in common with. That you have all of these things, common interests, common goals, common enemies, common faith, common testimony. When you have that, look at verse number 44 of Acts chapter 2. And all that believed were together and had all things common. I understand that's talking about their things, but they had all things common. I'm not preaching Baptist socialism, okay? Or communism. But he said they had all things common. What does that mean? It means they were all on the same page. They were all in it together. Look at what happens when that happens. Sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And look at what happens in that last verse, 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You want to see God multiply your ministry now and in the future? You get yourself around people that you have things in common with. Get yourself around people you have things in common with. Whether it's your roommates, people on your bus route, just other people you find, get yourself around other people that their heart is for the gospel, and watch God work. Let's pray this morning. Thank you, Lord, for today. God, I thank you for the friends in my life here at this place, and Lord, honestly, all around the world and around the country, that I have other friends who are living their lives for the gospel, who have sacrificed anything that you've asked them to, as far as I know, for the gospel. God, what you can do in this place and what you can do in lives of our young people and of our staff. Lord, I pray that even for our staff, that the conversation would be about the gospel. That our lives, our testimonies, our faith would be about the gospel. That we would be set for the defense of the gospel. That we would be able to say, it doesn't matter what happens to me. What matters is that Christ is preached. God, both for today and for the future, I pray that that would be my heartbeat. I pray that that would be the heartbeat of young people in this room, that Christ is preached, that the gospel would go forth. God, help us today. I pray that you'd help us to assess the relationships that we have and say, who do I have things in common with? And are those the things that God wants me to have in common with people? I pray that you'd bless this invitation. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.